League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
One in the books, two to go. Plenty more of the big shows. We continue to roll on here on The Usual Suspects with sports and relationships and all kinds of things. Breaking news of the day, Ezekiel Elliott gets a 6-game suspension from the NFL. Even though there were no convictions, they're saying that past precedents among, with other players with similar incidents, i.e. Ben Roethlisberger and others, led to the length of suspension. He now has 3 days in which to appeal, and if you look at track record there, you can get the 6 reduced to 4.
You think it'll be reduced? I was talking to Jong during the break. He thinks it'll go down to 4.
I believe it'll be 4 as well.
Do you?
Yeah, because, again, if they're going to go with past precedents, not that Goodell has been good about it.
Yeah.
But I think that when you get to the situation and you look at the past precedents of Roethlisberger, it was 6 and it went down to 4.
Yeah.
So I think that seems about right.
Okay. I was reading the article from DallasNews.com. Mm-hmm. This is what troubled me the most about all this. I mean, obviously it's troubling what he did or is being suspended for. But this just sounds so cliche almost. Elliott's representatives brought up alternative theories to how the woman suffered the bruises, Harvey said, including that she fell down the stairs, bumped into tables at a bar where she worked as a server, or perhaps someone else caused them. So they're literally throwing darts at a dartboard to come up with ideas on how this could have happened. It fell down the stairs is the most cliche thing as far as how a woman got bruises on her body, right? Oh, I ran into the door. I fell down the stairs. I mean, dude, do better.
I heard
do better than that.
I heard
that's
Don
ridiculous.
And Sean talking about it too, and saying, you know, maybe they had more manpower and resources than the police department, and they found out stuff that the police. I don't believe that. I believe that the police department is fully capable of investigating situations, especially high-profile cases like this. But I do believe that the public feels like they are entitled to every bit of information. But what I really believe is, and probably from an NFL standpoint too, or for whoever was involved in it, there's probably a lot of information that the public does not know. That's really none of their business to know at this point. But that led to a decision like this coming down, because you don't get suspended for this amount of time without there being something concrete to hang your hat on. And I know there's been multiple incidents.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he hasn't been convicted of them. There's got to be things that we don't know that aren't out there yet.
There usually is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, my point is if I'm Ezekiel Elliott's attorneys and defense team and whatnot, I'm not going out there with these theories on how this woman could have got her bruises. If my client didn't do it, my defense is, we didn't do it. We don't know how she got them. I'm sorry she got them, but we had nothing to do with it. And I'm not even going to sit here and be preposterous enough to throw out ways that she may have obtained those bruises. I mean, that seems silly to me. It seems like counterproductive to your defense, because if I'm a woman, and I'm on whatever panel with this, there was two women on the panel. But if I'm watching, I'm going, my goodness, this is just so cliche.
Well, especially when you have witnesses that can say that she said, "I'm going to ruin your career."
There was the one thing that they said didn't happen was she said that when she claimed that he jerked her out of the car or whatever, that never happened. But everything else, they were able to use evidence or whatever to corroborate, which is why he's being suspended.
But I'm saying, but she made those statements as well. So if you're, again, if you're his attorney and you can say, look, You know, you can say, well, in exactly that case,
that's a great defense.
Right, and then bring that up as
if
well.
If you've got concrete evidence that she said, I'm going to ruin your career, absolutely that's a great defense. But to just start throwing out theories that you guys may have, well, maybe she got drunk and ran into a wall. Like, what?
Well, and you can look at it from both sides, because from the other side of the equation, the bar fight where the DJ was severely beaten up in Dallas, everybody was adamant it was Ezekiel Elliott. And they gave it 24 hours. And suddenly, the guy that beat up decided he wasn't talking. And all the witnesses decided that they were going to just walk away. I'm not implying anything. I'm just telling you, if everybody was so sure and 24 hours later they weren't, it just seems fishy to me.
Yeah.
The guy got his ass beat. He knew exactly who did it. Now he's not talking.
Yeah.
Is that a new car he's driving next week? I don't know. Because you know Jerry believes in his players.
Of course. Jerry's- Which, by the way, how dumb does he look now?
Was it the second year in a row he's gotten a $500,000 fine for excessive breaking of the rules for by the players in terms of off the field?
Well, not only that, but when he was getting interviewed for his Hall of Fame, he was like, oh, there's no doubt he's getting off. There's no doubt. He's done. He's clean. Well, Jerry, I'm sorry, but he ain't. Oops. You're bad, dude. You look foolish again.
Guys, we don't take chances on guys that are bad people.
Hey, play. And I don't want to speak out of turn, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I'd be the first one to say it, but I seem to recall him saying something to the effect of, I've seen evidence. I know he's going to get off. Like he was just sure.
I didn't hear
based it, off of what he had that, seen and heard. Because he said they did their own investigation, right? Like, we've looked into the matter ourselves. He was certain that he was going to get off. So, his bad. You want to do Chris's call?
Yeah, Chris wants to get in here on Zeke. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Chris?
Hey, not too much. What I want to get in is, like, fan reactions. Unfortunately, I'm a 49ers fan, and last year, all this stuff with Kaepernick, I didn't agree with it, but a lot of my friends blasted me all the time. How can you cheer for somebody like that? Why not? Well, the same goes around. They're all Cowboys fans, and when something like this happens, I mean, you can't deny the evidence that's at hand. And when you say there should be consequences to reactions, these guys are – totally behind Elliott, saying there's no proof, there's no evidence. The girl that he pulled the top down on, it's is one of his friends, and she didn't care, and this, that, and that. I just don't know, like, if y'all can kind of touch on a fan's mindset to make this think that it's okay. Because another thing is, I got teenage kids, and they look up to these players, and I'm wondering, you know, I couldn't go and buy my son a Ezekiel Elliott jersey because of this kind of stuff. I don't know. That's kind of what I got to say. I just want to see if y'all could touch on that and see what y'all think about it.
You got it, Chris. Thanks for the call, man. Good stuff. Look, I mean, John and Sean had a Cowboy fan call and literally say, I'm glad he got what he got because I'm tired of this. And he goes, and I hope Jerry Jones learned a lesson too.
Jerry Jones ain't learned no lesson.
And he's not. No. But at the same time, you know, the reputation is there. Everybody knows. It used to be, you know, like I said, there are other franchises, the Raiders and others, where if you want a bad boy or a bad boy's looking for a place to play, it used to be the Raiders. Well, now it's the Cowboys.
And the Bengals.
And true. And the fact that you hope that this kid with all the talent in the world learns a lesson. And that's what the caller said that called John and Sean's show. Look, I'm a Cowboys fan, but I'm glad he got this suspension because I hope he learns from it because it's time for the wake-up call before it's too late.
I just don't know if that's the case, man.
I don't think that's across the board Cowboy fans' opinion, but I'm saying it's refreshing to hear a Cowboy fan say that.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. I mean, here's the thing, though. I'm not patting anyone on the back that's against domestic violence. You should be. We should all be against it, regardless of what team the person plays for. I don't care if it's a Texan fan. If I find out that Deshaun Watson has been involved in, I'm not rooting for that guy. Oh, I hope he gets off. You're an a-hole if that's your stance, if it turns out that what he did was real. You know what I mean? If he really hit a woman, no one should be hoping that you know, that they get off. I mean, but I commend you, you know, Cowboy fan, for saying that because it's easier to not say anything. And I think that's what you're kind of saying is it's easier to just sit back and be like, well, we'll just let this go. And then I'll go get my kids a Zeke Elliott jersey at the end of the year when he's had a great year or whatever. And yeah, it's easier to do that. I mean, no one's rushing out to buy a Ray Rice jersey, but if anyone has tried to make things better and right or wrong, it's Ray Rice. Are these other guys going to do that? I guess we'll find out.
And the thing is, Ray Rice never got a second chance.
Nope.
He got one and done, you know?
And by the way, does this change your pick for the East?
I don't think it changes my pick.
Oh, it changes mine.
Does it really?
Yeah.
I still see they still have Alfred Morris.
Okay.
They still have running backs McFadden, and they still have the best offensive line in football.
Yeah.
I don't. Matter of fact, John and Sean were looking at the line. The lines actually went more in the Cowboys' favor, or it was a half a point.
I think I'm rolling with the Giants now.
Are you?
I was Cowboys, but based on the early stuff that I'm working on, but this changes things. If it now four games, maybe a little bit different, but if it's a full six games, it kind of changes my pick for sure. I'm definitely rolling Giants if it stays at six.
You didn't. What about considering the sophomore dip? Like, wasn't people or can't you kind of say that there was kind of an expectation that there'd be a sophomore dip anyway?
I would think so, but...
But I'm with you. It would change my pick, too. Six games, that's a third of the season.
Yeah, and not behind that line. A sophomore dip, that line can help that out some. More so with Dak, I would be concerned about a sophomore dip, but with a running back, I mean, just read the hole, see the hole, hit the hole. You know what I'm saying? That's a little bit easier than Dak and, you know, progressions and the different kinds of defenses and blitz packages that he's going to see now that they have a full year of film on him. So, a little less concerning, but yeah, if he's out six... I'll take the
Giants.
The
biggest thing is the guys behind them aren't rookies and unproven free agents. At least you got two guys with NFL experience that have put up big numbers in the past. McFadden's a guy that can't stay healthy, so you got another guy with NFL experience that can kind of carry the load. They can split it, so we'll see. But, yeah, I mean, I would think it would change it, but essentially it's still less than a field goal difference in all the spreads that have changed since and now I'm getting word that in Vegas that they're suspending all – bets on the first six games of the Cowboys season.
They're going to wait to see if this is four or six and all that. Yeah.
So we'll see how it plays out. But if you want to comment on Zeke or you got relationship advice from Barry that you need desperately before the weekend or anything in between, give us a call, 713-780-3776.
Not just relationship advice. I don't want to do that. I mean, we have two shows already that do that. I want life advice. Like, if you guys having trouble at work, if you're having trouble with a friend, if you're having trouble, like, this is just life advice, too. Doesn't have to be relationships. Keep that in mind.
I have a troublesome pimple that's changing color.
You hate your coworkers?
Can you help me?
Joel's like, I have a question. I hate my coworkers. What do I do?
The Usual Suspects back with more ESPN 97.5. Who's
this? Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects. As you know, we love to give stuff away on this show and on this station, so it's that time again. Let's give away a $25 Raising Cane's gift card just in time for the weekend. Just in time for you to indulge yourself in one love. 24-hour marinated, hand-battered premium chicken tenderloins. Raising Cane's now has 24 locations in the Houston metro area. Visit RaisingCane's.com to find the location nearest you today. And now, your chance, a $25 gift card available to caller number 25. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776, caller 25. I did that so you guys on the stream and the app can have a chance too. So get after it. Caller 25, Raising Cane's, $25 gift set. One love.
Intern Trey is yelling, no, no,
no.
That's because he can't count that high.
No.
He's literally yelling right now.
Caller 25, no. You're caller number 13. You're caller number. That's all I got. That's as high as I can go.
I'm actually looking forward to intern Trey coming in studio today.
You wrecked me.
No.
So here's the thing. So I'm glad I'm looking through the text, and a lot of this is not relationship advice. It's life advice. So I want to get to some of these, all right?
Good.
Yeah, let's get to some of these. Barry, my wife is 5 months pregnant. We have three dogs. First dog is Hank. He's blind. He sheds like a mother. Also, he's old. He's gotten anxious, and he's kind of a bully. My wife hates him, wants him gone. But he's my first dog and been through everything with me. He's 11. What should I do? And he follows that with, my wife's afraid Hank will attack the baby or hurt her because he's blind and doesn't know. He's already high strung. Plus, he thinks the hair from the shedding will affect the baby negatively. What should they now? As a guy with a baby and dogs, how would you handle that? Because it's his first dog. That's like
And literally from that means perspective something. Too, it really does mean something.
Yeah.
But I think Hank stays until he's got to go. I mean, I think Hank stays. I'm going to explain
what the hell does that mean?
He stays because early on, look, what they say about dogs too is,
I think you live till you die.
Can I explain it?
Okay, go.
I would put my foot down early and say Hank stays. The minute that any kind of sign shows up, then you got to have a discussion if he's anti-baby. But at the same, but until you prove me wrong is basically, but the baby's still too young. The dog's not going to attack the baby because they're going to be in cribs and they're going to be basically tucked away. But if you start seeing signs that the dog is getting anxious and really reacting negatively to the baby, then you got to address it, nip it in the bud. But at the same time, we had a situation similar, and our dog, the minute you brought the baby home, it's weird because even with our dogs now, there's a clear understanding, and we never had to do anything, that the baby is the top priority.
Uh-huh.
And like the dogs will not mess with that baby, only to protect that baby. And like,
but they're also not blind. And I think that's what he means, is the blind causes the anxiety. Here's what I would do. All right. This first thing I would do is I would find a link on the internet that proves that the dog shedding isn't going to affect the baby negatively. That's the first thing I would do. And I would give that to my wife and let her read it. And if there's one that does not exist, go out and create a blog under a fake name and write it yourself and then show it to her. And that solves that.
That's good.
Okay. Then what you do is it's supervised visitation with Hank and the baby. And I mean, never leave the baby and Hank alone, obviously. Right. But as long as Hank's around the baby and nothing happens, you're good. You know, you're going to be all right. But if you're there and he gets a little anxious, then, you know, it's take Hank and leave and find a new family. No, don't do that.
And we asked the doctor about the hair issue and being allergic, because Lisa was really freaked out. How can we be dog lovers and what if she's allergic? The sooner that the baby, it's just like with their immune system, the sooner the baby is around and in that
element,
it's
going to help.
It's going to help them
immensely.
Right.
Somebody said when we were talking about the guy that said he asked his woman about if he's the smallest that she's ever been with, and she said, not the smallest. Somebody texted and said, my girlfriend's black and I'm white, and I stay completely clear of that question. As you should, my friend, as you should. That same person had a question. My girlfriend's attractive, super smart, great personality, good behind closed doors, basically worships the ground I walk on, but I know I can get hotter girls and have. Thoughts?
Stay where you're at, Chiefs.
Yep.
Stay in your lane.
It's always greener on the other side until you do that.
I mean, yeah, it's the crazy you know versus the crazy you don't.
Yep. Appreciate what you got.
But!
Oh, here we go.
Look, let's say you've got a nice Volvo you're driving. It's nice, leather interior, gets around, it's safe. Getting a wreck, you're gonna be good. But if you've got the money to upgrade to a Maserati, because you know you can get a Maserati, you've had a Maserati, you went out and rented a Maserati while the Volvo was in the shop, why wouldn't you go get a Maserati? That's all. I'm curious.
Drop the girl and upgrade, you're saying?
Dude, if you could get a hotter, nicer, better chick, why are you sticking with the one, why are you settling?
No, wait a minute.
Let me tell you something. Women ain't settling.
You didn't know if that was hotter, nicer. I mean, the hotter, yes.
It's what he
nicer,
said.
Nicer, better.
All of this, I could get hotter girls and have thoughts. I'm thinking if you can upgrade, upgrade, because chicks upgrade. If a chick can get a better dude, she's getting a better dude.
No, it depends on what stage you are in your life, too. If you're just looking for hotter.
Yeah, I mean, if you're old and you're like, you know.
I mean, if you're looking to settle down with someone, it seems like you got a pretty good package, but if it's just not floating your boat, then move on. But other than that, if you're just trying to upgrade the hotter part, but everything else is good there, and then don't be the guy that looks back and goes, God, I guess I should.
Well, that'll happen.
And she's going to be gone.
Well, that's the chance you take. You know what I mean? You get in a wreck in that Maserati and you break something, you're like, damn, I should have kept the Volvo. But think about all those
Nick,
times
you're a single guy, where would you be? I mean, isn't it depends on where you are in your life?
I mean, I've hurt. You know, I've hurt females before. So to me, what I've learned from it is that you, and I hate to sound serious, but it's true. Like, I'd rather just work with the girl that I have. And not, even if I can get a better looking girl, just stay with the girl that I have. That's just from my experience. But I don't know if that works for everybody.
As a divorced man, I can tell you that I'm not doing better than I have right now. My wife, I have maxed out. Beautiful, smart, fun, funny, all those things. I am not doing any better than my wife. So I don't need to look. I'm done. Now, she could do a lot better, so I hope she doesn't hear this. But, like, but I don't think you should settle. You get one life, bro. You settle with that's why I left my ex-wife. I was settling.
I'm not saying settling, but what I'm saying is, What are you looking for? Are you in the position in your life that you're looking to settle down and you got someone that offers all of this to you? Or if you're just looking to get the hottest piece of ass you can get and continue to upgrade?
You're right. It does depend on what's important to you. And he wouldn't be asking if it wasn't ass. I'll tell you that. He didn't ask like, hey, I got a chick with a good job, but I can get a chick with a great job.
Well, then Dick, Dick the Bounty Hunter, go out and get you the next piece.
Barry, my girl gets an attitude for the smallest inconveniences and gets mad when I mention she has an attitude. What do I do? Well, one, stop mentioning it.
I knew you were going to say that.
Two, maybe, can I show you my friend's used Volvo?
Leather interior.
I mean, how hot, how hot is she?
It's immaculate condition. One owner.
Nick also brings up another valuable point.
What is?
You can tolerate a lot if she's hot.
Yeah, a lot.
That's true.
Well, what I was going to say, too, is that hot chicks know they're hot. They're going to have more of an attitude. You know
what
I mean?
That's also true.
That's all. And maybe there's some hot chicks that are really humble. I don't know. No. I'm just saying.
You ever met a humble hot chick?
I've never met one. Not one.
I want to know what to do if my girlfriend says no more football. New girlfriend, for sure.
I'm with you on that.
Definitely a new girlfriend.
You either got enough rooms in the house to make that work, or you got...
No, that's girlfriend? It's not even wife?
Yeah, goodbye, bye-bye.
Dude, my wife's not telling me what I can't. I'm a grown-ass man. You're not going to tell me what I can and can't watch, and you're just a girlfriend? Bye. Next. Father-in-law is staying with the wife and I. Wife thinks he's an alcoholic, so tells him he can't drink. While he keeps sneaking drinks, do I tell him? Do I tell my wife? Hell no. You don't snitch on that dude.
Father-in-law
is staying with wife and I. So it's her dad.
Yep.
Wife thinks he's an alcoholic, so tells him he can't drink while he keeps sneaking drinks. So she's like, you can stay with us, but you can't drink. And he's like, all right. And then he's getting sauced in the bathroom, you know, and then coming out.
Stay the hell out of that one.
No, you don't snitch.
No, you just stay in the line. Sir, don't snitch. You let them work that out. That's their side of the family.
Bro, you're banging his daughter. It's bad enough. Don't snitch on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I've never been in that situation, but I think I'm with you.
No, I'm not snitching. I'm staying out of it. I'm with you.
Yep.
That's between you and your dad.
That's your side of the family.
I didn't see nothing.
Work that out.
That's right.
Good.
That's right.
He likes football.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Okay, we'll do some more after the break. We got to go do a break. But yeah. This is good. I like that it's not all relationships. It's there's a couple more. Somebody wants to know about getting into coaching.
F yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
F-E-F?
F-E-F, baby. Feff. We're going to get more of this because we like it on a Friday. If you guys feel feffy, get in on the conversation. Right now, I want to tell you guys about a great, great bunch of people over at American Wheel and Tire here in the Houston area. You've been to those big name stores when you've got a flat tire, a damaged rim, or just need some work done on the aesthetics on your car, and you end up going in for a minor detail and end up coming out with a major bill, and you're never explained any bit of it, and you're just left to pay it, holding the bag, going, what the hell just happened? Well, let me just tell you something. American Wheel and Tire are here on the scene in Houston. They've been here for 15-plus years, and their sole purpose is to make sure you never feel like you're getting screwed over. You're always communicated with before, during, and after the process, and you get quality work done to make your vehicle run like new but not having to pay those kind of prices. It's simple. If you've got a damaged rim or tire and you want to keep it like the factory tires and rims that you got when you bought the car, they have those, and they can take care of it. If you're being told by one of the major tire companies, hey, this rim needs to be completely replaced because it's scratched or it's dented, they can fix it and buff it out where you don't have to buy a new rim. You just pay to get the minor damage taken care of. They're going to be honest with you. They're going to take care of you, and it's the place that you would send your mom or your grandmother or anybody that you would be worried about being taken to the cleaners, and you will feel confident that they will take care of you. Mike and Tammy Gus do a great job. Their staff over there, Johnny and Jason and all those guys, they're going to make sure that they focus on you. What your problem is, how quickly they can solve it, how inexpensively they can get the job done, and how the job will last for a long period of time. Check out American Wheel and Tire, 290 at 34th Street, and also go on to AmericanWheelandTire.com where you can check out some of the great things they've done to jazz up vehicles like rims and tires, like lift kits, like off-road accessories for your SUV or your pickup truck. They've got all those things and more, and they can really make your car look fantastic. AmericanWheelandTire.com or American Wheel and Tire, 290 at 34th Street.
ESPN 97.5.
Hit me with the horn, 20. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back out of halftime. We've got 90 minutes to go in the big show. Don't go anywhere as we continue to roll on. If you've got life questions for the three of us, we're here for you. If you've got sports questions, we're here for you.
Somewhere else.
If you have sports takes that you want to give to us because they are on your mind.
Yes.
Let them fly.
Call, angry Cowboy fan. Call. I dare you.
You're not just going to get one now.
Chris Davis is on Twitter, by the way, going, well, I don't know. I understand the idea of running back by committee, but I still think they may go 4-2, 5-1. And there's a problem with that? If you get a six-game if Zeke is suspended for six games and you go 4-2 or 5-1, you should be ecstatic.
They might be happy with 3-2, right?
Yeah, I mean, look at what remember what they said when Brady was out last year, and they were hoping, well, hopefully they can go 2-2, 3-1.
Yeah.
You know, that's, of course, but guess what? When you run the table and you keep going, now you've got a lot of momentum because now you do that good and you're getting an all-pro caliber player back, you're going to be just fine. I'd be worried if you were 2-3 or, you know, 2-4.
Right.
Like that. So,
Yep.
5-1, 4-2. You should be ecstatic.
Okay, here's a question from Riley on Twitter. I haven't done any Twitter questions, so here's one. I'm white. Recently married a Hispanic girl. From your experience, what's some advice to avoid getting stabbed in my sleep? All right, so.
Good luck, Dr. Barry.
So I'm pretty lucky. My wife, she's pretty docile. She's not like crazy. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like I said, I'm pretty lucky in that regard. But what I would tell you is I would ask or I would have a discussion about just bring it up about, oh man, what's the one thing that in the past a guy's done that's really pissed you off? Because that'll give you a clue as to what her hot button is. You know what I mean? Now, with a Hispanic chick, that's going to be anything. That could be like, you know, you get the wrong type of like chili, like the salsa. She's gonna be mad at you because they're very specific. Oh, very specific.
They know what they like.
I have come home with the wrong salsa before been sent back to the store
or tortillas.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
that too. They're very specific.
You can't bring back the wrong tortillas.
No, dude, you gotta have the right company
That's
name
awesome.
And the beans.
I said corn, not flour. Get your ass on
there. No, corn and flour is fine. It's the brand name.
It's very specific. So
they make them the right way.
It's always, hey, man, dude, when it comes to, you know, I mean, communication is the key, dude. Ask. But I don't know, like, that and don't cheat on her.
If you cheat, then your ass is grass.
A Mexican chick will stab you in your sleep.
Yeah, for sure.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Like, black women punch you dead off in the face while you're looking at them. Mexican chicks stab you in your sleep, and white girls just sleep with your best friend. That's how that usually goes.
It's pretty accurate.
I know.
But most guys are guarding their head and their heart for where they're going to get stabbed and don't realize they're leaving themselves wide open because they're going right for the grapes.
Yeah.
I don't think Barry's a fan of white girls.
What?
You always give white girls a bad rap.
No, I'm just speaking the truth. I was married to a white girl. What are you talking about? I'm white.
Yeah, but you always they're like...
I know. I'm sorry. You had to find out today.
Good Lord.
I know.
On a Friday?
I didn't know she was. I thought she was Hispanic too, your first wife.
My first wife? No, she was white.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Blonde chick.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Big booty, though. Black girl booty. Went a white girl body.
Pool player.
That mattered. What?
She's a pool player.
Handy with the stick.
Yep.
Pool stick.
And the cue.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get to this question about sports from a person. Mid-20s, diehard sports fan, never played high school sports, struggling to find what I want to do as my lifelong career. Is coaching at a high school level too much of a reach for someone never having that level of playing experience? I know you have to work your way up the ladder, but just wondering if it would be a waste of time. Thanks for the life advice, Barry and Joel. I don't think so. Dude, first of all, you're talking to a dude who's 43, and I'm just now chasing dreams. Like, I'm just now going after the things that I've wanted since I was 8 years old.
That's kind of similar. I felt, and you're a much better example than I am. I really decided to get into radio when I was like 28 or 27. You know, I was like a 27-year-old intern. So it really depends on, you know, how dedicated you are when you decide to
That's the thing.
Really pursue it.
Having any experience, having never played a sport, you don't have to have ever played a sport to be a student of the game. You can study. And if you got a teacher certificate, you can go teach health and sex ed and be a coach. You know what I mean? Like you can do be an assistant coach. Start off at junior high. Start off in, you know, little league. That you're kind of creepy if you don't have a kid on the team, but still, let people know this is what you want to do. You want to coach, and you're going to earn it. And being around it, just being around it that way, you're going to learn things. You may not learn great things, but you're going to learn.
The biggest thing is, do you know the game? If you know the game, there's a saying that goes, you know, those who play, and those who can't play, coach. So, you know what? It's not about whether you can play the game or not, but if you know the game, and that's not just the X's and O's, that's the techniques. The proper, especially in football these days, if you don't know how to tackle properly and teach that to children, you're taking them down a very slippery slope because they can get hurt, they can get paralyzed, they can suffer some severe injuries. But if you know the sport and you're passionate about it, and like you guys said, it doesn't matter what age you are, but also be smart about the process. Don't jump right in and be a high school coach or try to be a high school coach, because the fact of the matter is these are kids that have a lot of dreams and aspirations already that are extremely focused, and they're also trying, and a lot of them are trying to think that this is a way to take them places. Start by learning from, like you said, like from Pee Wee Leagues to junior high to situations where don't try and be the head coach right away, or don't try to be a coordinator or a position coach. Learn.
Yep.
Learn along the way. John Gruden, well before he was a head coach, was a special assistant to the special teams guy in Green Bay just to try and get his feet wet and learn.
Experience is the key, man, in anything. Somebody said life rule, bang hot, marry pretty. That is fantastic advice. That's the best advice. I don't know who that should be on a shirt. It probably is where he got it from, but that is great advice. Other great life advice, never get advice from a shirt. Okay. If that guy doesn't like his Volvo, tell him to give me the VIN. That's good. That might be tweet of the day right there. Okay, I don't know what this is. I haven't really screened this. It's just long. Uh-oh. So we're going to all find out what this is together, and we're going to answer it, okay? Do we have time for this? Yeah, okay.
I hope it doesn't suck.
What's your answer to the trolley problem? This is all I've read of this text so far, so if I stop midway, you'll know why. There is a runaway trolley barreling down the railway tracks. Ahead on the tracks, there are 5 people tied up and unable to move. The trolley is headed straight for them. You are standing some distance off in the train yard next to a lever. If you pull this lever, the trolley will switch to a different set of tracks. However, you notice that there is one person on the side track. You have 2 options. Do nothing and the trolley kills 5 people on the main track. Pull the lever, diverting the trolley onto the side track where it will kill 1 person. Which is the most ethical choice?
Why are you looking at me?
I mean, I guess I'll go with the 1 person. I'll be the bad guy and say the 1 person.
Why would that make you the bad guy? You saved 4 lives.
Yeah.
Would you save 5 lives?
5 lives, because there was 5 on the main track, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm looking for, it says you're standing some distance in the train yard next to the lever. If you pull this lever, the trolley will switch to a different set of tracks. However, you notice that there is 1 person on the side tracks. So do I have time to untie the 1 person and get back and pull the lever?
Well, that's the kind of thing I was thinking of.
That's a good question.
Otherwise, sorry, 1 person, you're going to die.
Or can you switch it back again?
What do you mean?
Can you get it to change tracks, but at a certain point, are you able to...
No, I don't think it works
like
that.
I don't think you can do that, no. Because once you set it to the new track, it's either going to go to that track or it's going to...
I don't think you're out running a trolley.
Do you have radio control to the engineer for the emergency brake?
No.
I'd like to know that.
It's careening down the tracks. Yeah, I'm with you, Nick. I'm letting the 1 person die.
It's a terrible...
It's 5 people.
I would hate to be put in that position. Or,
your net life saved is 4, but you're saving all 5 lives on that 1 track for that 1 person. And you don't know what that person is like. They may be an evildoer. You know what I mean? They may be a bad person. That's why they're tied up to a track to begin with. You don't know.
It seems like the easy answer. That's why you question yourself.
Right.
But it's logically the most intelligent answer.
I mean, I would agree because it was my answer. That's why it was intelligent.
Dude. I kept flashing into Barry's the guy on the other track.
Joel's like, yeah, I'm definitely letting it kill Barry. Definitely, if that's who's on that other track. All right. Oh, I hear music. Okay. We'll do some more. We've got more life advice. Not relationships. I don't want any more relationship advice. I want life. We have enough relationship advice on the station.
You don't want bad news this weekend? Hey, Barry, I followed your relationship advice.
I don't
she
care about
stabbed
that.
Me in the balls.
I don't care about it. I'm
and
always,
then left me.
I'm always going to tell the truth. That's whatever. If you don't like it, that's your problem.
All right, we'll be back with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects on a Friday on ESPN 97.5.
Station that brought you Dream Crushers, the pepper spray incident, and male golfer, female golfer food. We celebrate 10 years.
Out of my mouth.
Thank you, Houston.
Thank you.
ESPN 97.5 is 10. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on an FEF Friday, where we continue to roll on, have some fun, and address your concerns along the way.
Yeah, somebody said that the trolley question was asked incorrectly, that the one person on the other track was a family member. So you had to choose between killing five people you didn't know or a family member. And then someone else on Twitter, Ulysses, said, if you switch tracks, then you cause the one person to die, so you're a murderer. And I said, nope. You say murderer, I say hero. I don't care what you say. That's not a fact. You can't tell me what. I'm not a hero. I saved five people. Now, if it's one person, does that change your answer? It's one family member, five people. What
yeah,
do you do?
I'd save my family member.
Yeah, I'm kind of like looking possibly the other way, like, oh, I didn't see the switch. I didn't know that was there.
Well, you don't have to do anything.
Huh?
And you don't have to do anything, because in order to say to get it off the five and go to the one, you got to get it. You have to switch the track.
Yeah.
So essentially, you do nothing, and your family member is okay, and you can claim complete innocence like I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't touch it. I didn't cause that trolley to run away like that.
Who thought of this, man?
I don't know. This
people
sounds like
with
a,
too much time on their hands.
This sounds like a weird question you get asked during an interview. You know what I mean? Like, somebody had asked me like some weird questions. Like, you're in a room with two doors, but no, I don't know. It's like some, they have some of the weirdest, like when I was trying to get a job with Microsoft back in the day.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's like, how
train
do you get out of
A is moving at 80 miles
no,
an hour.
No, not even that. It's like a problem. So they want to see how you solve a problem. It's like a riddle almost, where it's like, all right, you're in a room that connects to another room. There's three doors. One of them, you know, does this. One of them, you have to pick how to get out of this room, and there's all kinds of weird stuff in it. I wish I could remember the question. Maybe I'll try to find it at the break. But, yeah, they would ask questions like that just to see how your problem-solving skills work. But this one just seems a little more cut and dry. Like, if it's family, I don't... Those other five folks, I feel sorry for them. They're going to die. So, somebody said, yeah, it's like your grandma. Okay. What?
Chan said, here's a hypothetical. One side of the track is four kids and Hitler. The other side of the track is just Barry.
Oh. Oh, what you doing?
Reading a Twitter. That's what I'm
Which
doing.
One are you picking, Joel? What is it? It was Hitler and four kids?
Yep.
Or Barry? Which one are you going with?
No, I guess we
guys?
Can. I'm sorry, but I guess we can, you know, kill you and then capture Hitler later. I don't know. Save the four kids.
So you'd rather save Hitler.
Like if I was there, kids. Switch me and you. Like if I was there, like take chance, hypothetical, but put me there. You wouldn't want to save four kids and capture Hitler later and kill me?
No, who would
I
run
feel
the show?
I feel that you're sneakily cagey enough that you could get away. You would elude the train.
Who would run this show? I'm not having Hitler produce this show. Ratings would just go into the toilet.
God, that's a terrible exit. God, Chan, would you come up with that?
So would you kill me or would you kill Hitler and the kids? Which one?
I don't know.
Say it, Nick. Say it. I want you to say it. I want you to say it out loud with your face. Say it. Say it.
I don't know. I guess I
say it.
I guess I would pull the trigger on you, man. Not Literally, but yeah.
Stupid ass. I'd kill you too.
A lot of you people are thinking just... So Craig then chimes in.
What?
What if it was headed towards one of your family members and you had to switch the track and kill five people?
Yeah.
Isn't that basically what we already covered?
Yeah, that's the same thing. I don't know why you're... Yeah, that's
because I thought he was going to ask us to name the five people we had to kill. I'm like, no, we're
not. No. Okay, where to go? Here we go. I've been with my girl for 6 years, but the love is not there anymore. The relationship feels forced. I want to break up with her, but I feel like I can't because she's close to my friends and family. What's your advice? My advice is your friends and family don't date her. You do. And if you ain't happy, get out. Move on. That's
especially
exactly,
if there's no kids involved, you're not married.
When I divorced my first wife, it was instant. And it was only because, like, I think I told this story before, but I remember her walking down the aisle as I'm standing there at the altar waiting to get married. She's walking down the aisle. And in my mind, I was thinking, I wonder when I'm going to leave her.
What?
Yes. I'm not even making that up. I'm not even trying to be funny. That is a real and true thought I had in my head. I did not want to get married, but I felt pressured into doing it. I felt like this is what I had to do because I was in love and she was in love and this is what people in love do. But I didn't want to be married. She had already wanted to buy a house and have kids. I'm 21. I didn't want any of that. But I thought, okay, this is what you're supposed to do. This is step one. I'll get married. Maybe this will tide her over for a little while. So while I'm standing up there watching her walk down the aisle, I was like, I wonder what I'm leaving her ass. Like, it's going to happen. I just don't know when.
He told this story when Jerome Solomon was filling in for you. That's why you didn't hear it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay, but yeah, it was hilarious when he said it.
So why would you go
through with it?
Well,
there's a side door.
Yeah, no. It's one of those weird things. It wasn't until I was honest with myself one morning, I just woke up and was like, yo, I'm out. I can't do this anymore.
And so when you did, were you like, how relieved did you?
Did you throw
a party?
1,000-pound weight off your chest. Once you're honest with... That's right. You're like, I'm free. I'm going to go get me a Volvo and a Maserati. And that's kind of what it was like in my head.
Now, did you guys have a conversation later on? Because you're still social with she felt the same way? Or
nope.
She best move you ever made?
It was the best move I ever made.
But you all haven't talked since about it?
We've seen each other once. So I let her.
Once?
Once since like 97.
And no talking.
Since 97, so it's almost been 20. It's been 20
Good
years.
Lord.
Yeah, we've seen each other once. But she got me remarried and had kids, so she was better off. That's what she wanted. It's just not what I wanted. But I did let her keep the dog. I went up to, not Trader's Village. What's the Canton Trade Days up north near Dallas? They have it's like Trader's Village on steroids. And I bought this dog, a Labrador, black lab, beautiful. I think it even had like web feet. Like it was a badass lab. But I let her keep it. And then one day I went over there to get my income tax check, and it had completely destroyed her couch. So while she was in the other room getting the check, I was like, that's a good boy. Like, yeah, that's such a good dog. I knew I left you here for a reason. Like, he had destroyed her entire house, but her couch had a hole in it. Like, you could have drove a car through it. It was so big, but the dog was my hero. But yeah, dude, like, honestly, if you aren't happy, bro, get out. Be honest with yourself. You will feel
you only got one
so
life
much
to
better.
Live, and you got to be true to yourself.
You'll feel so much better after
for
that.
For sure,
so.
You got to be true to yourself.
Yep. Let's see here. How long on a job should you wait before missing time for being sick? I've been on the job 5 weeks now. And I feel like crap today, but I toughed it out. Is it acceptable to leave early? Well, it depends. When do you start getting sick time? Because if you give me sick time and I'm sick, I'm using sick time. But if you say I got to wait 90 days, I'm going to wait
and
it out.
How's your relationship with your boss?
I'm just saying.
Like if you're already,
I don't care about
if
that.
Your boss is cool with it and you talk to him and say, hey, man, I'm not feeling good.
Yeah.
But
that's
if he's
true.
An a-hole from the get-go and you don't want to push that envelope, then you got to suck it up.
Yep.
You know what I feel like is a new trend?
What?
You hit him with a prenup. The new employer, look, I need this day off. I need Thanksgiving and Christmas off.
Oh, yeah, you're supposed to do that. Yeah,
I've never done
that.
I learned that from other people. No, I didn't do that here. I didn't come up with demands when I was a producer. Hell no.
When I switched jobs in IT, I'd be like, hey, listen, so I had 2 weeks planned here, and then like next week I've got this going on, and then I've got, And they're like, oh, okay, whatever. Yeah, totally. Yeah, you should always do that when you switch jobs. My girlfriend said she's interested in a threesome. Congratulations. But
good for you.
But then has said I can't do anything with the other girl. Is it even worth it? Yeah. Yeah. Dude, like you get to watch two chicks make out. Are you seriously? And you get to be in the same room?
I think you should do it and then you can convince her when she gets there.
I'm saying. I'd be like, oh
yeah.
Whoops, how'd that happen?
Yeah.
I'm taking my chances. That's
Bruce Buffer, I used to listen to his podcast on the Sherdog Radio Network. I don't know if you're familiar with that network, but he used to have a show on Sherdog, and he would like, because his show is not just about MMA, and people would have that exact same question: how do I approach my girlfriend about wanting a threesome?
How do you do it?
And he even tells you, like, he breaks it down. He's like, you do it one time, you give equal attention, and once it's done, you never give attention to that old girl ever again.
That's correct. That's smart.
And I was like, wow.
That's smart.
Bruce Buffer is a player.
Bruce's out there just...
he's just knocking them back.
Bang.
He's going to be 90, just knocking them back.
Just knocking that fudge stripe.
Hugh Hefner style.
Don't call it a chocolate strip. It's a fudge stripe.
I have a life question for you guys. I'm married and have a son. Currently, I'm a mailman, and people always tell me it has great benefits to keep the job. But I've always wanted to try something different. I applied for school next semester to major in engineering, but I don't know if it's worth the time when I have a full-time job we depend on and a family to spend time with. What do you guys think? I'm 23. Again, I'm going to tell you this. I did all that. I put all that aside, and you're never going to be truly happy. And here's the thing. So I'm 43. I got into comedy at 38, and now I get to travel. I make money. I pay bills doing comedy. And I pay bills doing radio. That's the two things. And I'm not going to say what I used to make in IT, but it's three times what I'm making now.
You were making it rain?
It's three times what I'm making now. And I gave all that up to chase a dream because I wasn't as happy. And my wife, who I'm fortunate, she wants me to be happy. She doesn't care what I'm, you know, as long as I'm happy. And that's what, if you got a wife that's not into that, you need a new wife. If you got a wife that doesn't want you to be happy, like she would rather you work a miserable job, you need a new wife. That's how I look at it. Like, I want my wife happy. She wants me happy. And whatever we have to do to, you know, if I need to, like, I put her through school, to nursing school, because she always wanted to be a nurse. So I made sacrifices, and now she's doing that for me.
I go back to what I said all along. You only have one life to live. And you got to live with yourself first and foremost. So you need to be happy. If you're going to a job every day and it's miserable, you're going to be miserable. And it's going to wear off on
Trust
the people
me.
Around you.
Oh. What? Joel getting all mad. You just killed me on the train track, Joel. You murdered me to save Hitler.
But at least I thought about
you
it first.
You killed me.
I did take time to think about it.
Nick didn't.
No.
Yeah, I didn't even
And
hesitate.
You guys wonder why I'm miserable at work, because you guys are killing me on the train track. Ugh, to save Hitler.
Four kids and Hitler.
I mean...
details, right?
Four kids. There's plenty of kids.
Engine number 9. Going down Chicago line, we're still on the track. And we'll be right back. The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter interior paint is a paint and primer in one with a tough, lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big.